Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. It's a great pleasure to have with us once again Ilan Berman, the vice president at the American Foreign Policy Council and a prolific contributor to our understanding of the kinds of environment we're in. He tracks with great care and prolific writing books of articles, columns, and the like on most of the bad actors we confront at any given moment. His most recent book, I believe, is Iran's Strategic Penetration of Latin America. Is that right, or have I missed one?
Yeah, there's one since then.
But there is.
As you mentioned, it's a target-rich environment.
Give us that name.
Sure. It's called Iran's Deadly Ambition.
There we go.
The Islamic Republic's quest for global power.
I actually had that somewhere, but I'm glad to have you say it. Thank you so much, Ilan Berman, for joining us. Great to have you back.
Oh, wonderful to be back.
You have been testifying on Capitol Hill and writing assiduously, as I say, in various platforms, including your column at Forbes.com, about Iran and the Obama legacy, really. If I could ask you to calibrate it a little bit for us, we'll go through a number of particulars, but just sort of at the macro level, Ilan, here we are, whatever it is, 6 months on or so. Where do you think this legacy stands now, and where is it headed?
Well, if I had to pick a name for this period of time in the Obama administration, it is the hangover after the Iran deal, because what we're finding is that, you know, we are 7 or so months out from the signing of the JCPOA over the summer, and the fundamental reset that was supposed to be part and parcel of the nuclear deal, the recalibration of Iranian attitudes towards the West, simply doesn't exist. In fact, the Iranian regime is showing no signs of moderating its internal behavior. The recent elections in Iran, which we can talk about in a couple minutes, are proof that the fix, the electoral fix, was in from the outset. And more, you're seeing officials either in the Obama administration or officials who used to be in the Obama administration beginning to revise their expectation downward. They're beginning to understand that, you know, this nuclear deal, which was concluded on terms overwhelmingly favorable to the Islamic Republic, really hasn't produced anything resembling the ideological reorientation that they were hoping.
Well, the ideological reorientation, or any diminution of the threat from Iran either, for that matter. And all of this was absolutely predictable. In fact, you were among those who was predicting it at every opportunity, Ilan Berman, including here at Secure Freedom Radio. But to the extent, just to pick up one of the things you've just pointed to, that there was supposed to be a groundswell of support for the moderates who had accomplished this great diplomatic victory and were going to be improving the quality of life and allowing those, well, some substantial portion of the $100 billion at least to go into infrastructure improvements and all of this stuff. The only thing we've got left is a kind of public narrative from the administration that the moderates actually won. I don't see any evidence of that. What's your reading of it?
No, I think that's exactly right. Look, I think it's clear from the results of the recent Iranian elections for their parliament known as the Majlis and for their clerical supervisory body known as the Assembly of Experts that there is a groundswell of support from the Iranian public for the people that concluded the deal. But I wouldn't go so far as to call them moderates. In fact, if you look at the electoral numbers, and in Iran especially, elections tend to be a numbers game because you have a vast number more candidates that want to stand for positions than are allowed to do so by the clerical supervisory bodies that vet and disqualify candidates. The vast majority, 95-99% of people who we would really call moderates and reformists were actually excluded from participating in those elections in the first place. So what you have is far less than meets the eye. This isn't a reformist sweep. What it is confirmation that the Iranian public, at least for the moment, is hopeful that the negotiation of this deal and the potential economic offsets that are coming their way as a result of the deal are going to improve their lot in life. It is a show of confidence for the ruling regime in Tehran. It is certainly nothing resembling the kind of softening that the White House was hoping.
You know, our friend Omri Terran at the Israel Project, I think, has done an analysis of this that indicates that, and perhaps not alone, but that indicates what happened was that because of the rejection of most, if not virtually all, of the candidates who might have been construed as moderate, relatively moderate at least, the so-called moderate parties had to go get hardliners to fill out their lists. And so you had people who were very much hardline, nonetheless, in some cases not knowingly, being run for office on the so-called moderate planks. And it just, again, it seems like a complete snare and delusion, as does more generally what's in the works here. Today, we've had the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, Ilan Berman, as you know, launching apparently a series of ballistic missiles, again, it would seem, in contemptuous violation of what we thought were their restrictions upon such behavior. Where does this lead, Ilan? Are we going to see a considerable ramping up of the threat to our friends and interests in the region and perhaps even to us here at home?
I think we are, and I think we're going to see it on two fronts specifically. It's necessary to understand, sort of to get the proper appreciation for what the Revolutionary Guards are and what they mean for the regime, is to understand that the Revolutionary Guards cumulatively are much more than a clerical army. They are that, but they're also a bulwark of stability for the ruling regime in Tehran, to the point where the IRGC controls something resembling a third of the Iranian economy. The reason that's significant is because the economic offsets that are now available to Iran, this $100+ billion in previously escrowed oil revenue, are going to be disproportionately allocated to groups like the Revolutionary Guards. And so an uptick in IRGC activity is entirely predictable because they're going to be one of the principal beneficiaries of the economic benefits of the nuclear deal. And we're beginning to see that play out in their military activities, in their asymmetric activities, and in the profile that they take within Iranian politics itself.
Ilan, you've been writing about Iran's conduct to conceal from us what they're doing. There was a report yesterday, I believe, that the International Atomic Energy Agency is now kind of finally coming clean, that their examinations of Iranian sites and nuclear-related activities is very much restricted, and more so in the wake of this so-called deal than before. This would seem to be yet another example of this being a complete national security fraud.
No, I think that's right. And certainly, it's a fraud in the context of us assuming that as a result of this deal, we have greater oversight and greater transparency over Iran's nuclear program. But the lawyer in me tells me to say that the International Atomic Energy Agency is not a decider. It's an implementer. And so these revelations are entirely consistent with the fact that the IAEA has a narrow scope of conduct within Iran as a result of the nuclear deal. The Iranians successfully pressed for, at the diplomatic table, the idea that a large swaths of their nuclear program are going to remain sort of outside of the purview of the international community. The IAEA, frankly, loves this, and they love this because it makes their job easier. But obviously, Iran's nuclear development becomes entirely off the grid.
Right. And the point is that it's not that this is a surprise, given the contents, as best we can tell what they were, of this deal. It's just that this isn't how it was sold to the Congress or to the American people. And I think most of them in Congress and in the public recognize this wasn't adding up, but it's certainly becoming more and more palpable by the day that you were right, Ilan Berman of the American Foreign Policy Council, in your many admonitions about what's going on here. We're going to talk about a couple more of them and what it means notably for us here in the Western Hemisphere as well, with one of the country's preeminent experts on these subjects, Ilan Berman, right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.